Romans chapter 7. Did anybody read ahead in Romans to go to Romans 7? Anybody? All right, so we'll go slow so we can kind of digest it. Has anybody ever studied out Romans 7 before? Maybe? Some? One or two, three, four, five with Ezra? Okay. We'll see how far we get today. So here in Romans chapter 7, let's look at verse number 1. Do you not know, brothers, for I speak to those who know the law. So now Paul's being specific on the audience he's talking to, right? He's going to speak to those who know the law. That the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. Now, Paul just got done saying in Romans 6 that sin will no longer have dominion over you, right? So we established that. Your old man is dead. No, you count to be true. You have the ability to live righteously and now move and start yielding your members to righteousness because you are no longer a slave to sin. So, verse 2. Now he's going to give us an analogy of marriage here to kind of show this. For the woman who has a husband is bound by law to her husband so long as he lives. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law regarding her husband, so that she will be called an adulteress if she marries another man while her husband lives. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she would not be an adulteress if she marries another man. So, we see going one direction, something or someone has to die to be released to go on to something new. Right? That's what we're going to see. We see in Romans 6, you died in Christ, right? So, when you died, not only your old man died, but you died to the law also, which that's pretty much the book of Galatians right there. Okay, so for the Jew, no longer under the law, the Gentiles would never talk to about the law because they weren't under the law, right? The Jews are going to know this. So now your old man is dead. You're dead to the law for a Jew and your old man. And now I can take on something new, and that newness is in Jesus Christ, right? Verse 4, so my brothers, you also have died to the law. Now how? How have they died to the law? They've been told for thousands of years, la, 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 la. Now how have I died, being a Jew that knows the law, how have I died? Tells us here, you're dead to the law through the body of Christ. Okay, now that's exactly Romans 6, 1 through 4, right? I'm baptized in Christ, I'm buried with Christ, and now I'm raised with Christ. So the law is dead to me, and that is accomplished through believing in Jesus, through the body of Christ. Okay? So that you may be married to another. Now, who am I going to be married to? To him who has been raised from the dead, so that we may bear fruit to God. So, the law is my first wife that's dead, and now I can go to my next wife, which is Jesus. I'm free from that old law, because I'm now in Christ, to go forward in Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, verse 7. Wait, are we on verse 7? 5, thank you. Getting ahead of myself. Verse 5. When we were in the flesh. Now he's going to start talking about as a Jew in the past. Okay? As a Jew in the past. Okay? When we were in the flesh, the passions of sin through the law. Okay? So now again, he's talking about the law in the past, how they were. Worked in our members to bear fruit leading to death. Okay? So before we were saved, we were under the law. We were living our lives that showed fruit of death. But now, verse 6, We are delivered from the law, having died to the things in which we were bound, so that we may serve in newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter of the law. Okay, so he's breaking it down to them. All right? So he's doing a really good job on showing. It's very Proverbs-y, right? Very principle-based. Okay? Compare and contrast. So under the law, when we were over there, hey, we lived our lives that showed fruit unto death. Okay, because that's what the law does, right? The law shows sin. The law exposes sin. Okay? That's what it does. Now, we're divorced from the law now, okay, because the law, what the law could not do in the flesh, God did by sending his son Jesus Christ and condemned sin, okay, in Jesus. So now we can serve, we're freed now from that system, which again, we're going to see coming up, that the law was a good system. The law was ordained by God. It was of God, okay? The law was to show sin, to show the goodness of God, to show that I'm going to live by faith in the God whom I love, right? Okay. Now, this could kind of be hard for a Jew to understand, right? A born-again Jew, man, I would eat and sleep and drink and live. My whole life structure was based on the law. And now you're saying that I'm dead to the law? Man, I'm having a hard time grasping this. Right? Sometimes we get that way with some things that we learned, right? You know, I'm looking at you and I'll say something sometimes and I'll get this. I'll get this little look like, whoa, hold on a second. And usually I'll approach you and say, hey, I mentioned this, and you kind of have that look like you were thinking, well, I was taught, so see, we have something that we know, and then when it gets challenged, we go, wait a minute, hold on a second, right? Not even in a bad way. I'm not even saying it's negative. Nothing even negative. It's just, whoa, wait a minute, hold on a second, right? It's challenging that thought, or challenging that my belief system. Now, thankfully, us here, we're open to learning or seeing a different perspective or seeing something else. So I'm not saying the look that you give me is anything negative. It's challenging something in which you learned before, right? And you want to know more. So these guys here, a lot of them, same thing. Paul's talking to a group of people that they want to learn. They're part of the body of Christ. They're having a hard time establishing, you know, Jew and Gentile together. They're having a hard time establishing Christ, and he's a Savior to both of us, and sin and the law, right? So it kind of might be hard to grasp for these people when they're babies in Christ. These are full adults, but babes in Christ. On, whoa, how is the law dead to me? Who's going to help them understand this? So the natural response is this, verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? That's a rhetorical question, right? But they might put two and two together and go, okay, well, if I'm dead to the law, and the law, we're no longer to be under it. Like, is the law sinful? Is the law bad then? Look what he says. God forbid. But I did not know sin except through the law. So now Paul's going to go backwards. Okay? He's going to go backwards here and start from when he was a young boy and go through his childhood and going through his young adult life, going through his adult life on what the law did in him. Okay? He's going to go backwards here under the law and show us a transformation of being young, now seeing the law, understanding the law, what the law produces, and what, man, holy smokes, now what? I thank God through Jesus Christ. Okay, so we're going to see a progression of Paul's life here under the law that these Jewish believers can relate to. They're just like Paul. Okay? They were law-abiding Jews. Now the law is dead. Wait, what? What's going on? Okay? But I did not know sin except through the law. I would not have known coveting if the law had not said, you shall not covet. Alright? So there are some things that man is going to, you know, naturally do, right, in their conscience. Romans 1 through 3 explain that. Okay, Romans 1 through 3 explain some things that man does. Okay, now, man on his own may covet, but man on his own isn't going to think a lot of times that is wrong. Okay? That coveting is wrong. Paul said, hey, I have not known coveting. He may have coveted, but didn't put it together that this is bad. Until the law said, thou shalt not covet. Now a light's turned on, right? Now he's aware of coveting, and it's bad. Don't do it, right? As children, we do the same thing. We got babies in here. They're learning as they grow up. They naturally do things that to them isn't wrong, but now we're telling them, don't do that. That's wrong. Okay? And then at this age, as they get a little bit older, many times what happens is when they find out something's wrong and don't do that, they go to that area that they did not know was wrong before. Now they know it's wrong, but now they approach it a little bit differently. Right? Now they're kind of mischievous towards that area. You know, you ever, as your kids are growing up, say, don't do that, their hand's going up. Don't touch that. They get closer. They're doing the opposite of what you're saying. Don't grab that. You know? Paul had not known coveting until the law said don't covet. And you're going to see some things that open up. Okay, some things. Now the floodgates are open. Watch this. Verse 8. But sin, taking opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of coveting. So Paul is young. Before he's saved, he's realizing that the law said don't covet. And this is where it kind of gets tripped up with the Jews, okay? Is the law is beautiful, it's wonderful, it's amazing, but through something beautiful, something bad is being produced through it. Okay? Because it's coming through me. All kinds of sin. I'm coveting a lot more now because I know what coveting I shouldn't be doing. And now my mind's focused on, as an unsaved Jew, what I shouldn't be doing. Now my mind is there. I'm doing the things. We'll get to that here in a second. Don't covet. That's coveting. It's bad. Well, now I'm starting to covet all the time because now that channel's open to me. That's what the law does. The law opens up sin. Okay? So sin is coming through something good. Just like a child. Don't do that. Oh, you mean this? Yeah, that's the thing I said don't do. Okay? Okay, for apart from the law, sin is dead. I was alive without the law once. So innocent, right? He was innocent of the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Now, he's not saying he died physically, right? This death here is more destruction. I'm seeing now, oh man, there's bad things in me. Okay, I'm seeing now, oh man, I do bad things. Okay, so he was ignorant of a lot of things the law had said. Now he's understanding coveting, now he's understanding more of the law, and now he's realizing, man, I do a lot of bad things. Okay, so he's dead. He's seeing how much he needs God. He's seeing how bad he is. That's what the law does. The law shows sinfulness. The law shows sin. Okay? And the more the law Paul's learning, the more he's seeing how much bad he's doing and how much bad it produces him to want to do bad. All right? Okay, verse 10, and the commandment, which was intended for life. See? It was intended for something good. Jesus did say it. But in the Old Testament, Exodus, Deuteronomy, do this and thou shalt live. You see that a lot, right? We read the Old Testament, especially the Pentateuch, first five books of the Bible, do this and you will live. So, and the commandment, which was intended for life, proved to be death in me, verse 11, for sin taking opportunity through the commandment deceived me and killed me through it. Verse 12, so then, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and just and good. So, the law is good, the law is great, God ordained the law. So just because the law is exposing sin in man, and sin the things that I do, doesn't mean that that's bad. There's no blame shifting, right? Well, Satan made me do it. Well, the law made me do it. No, the law is good. You're bad. Okay, you're making bad choices. Okay, does that make sense? Yeah. All right. So we move on here. Verse 13. Therefore, has that which is good become death unto me? God forbid. Rather, sin, that it might be shown to be sin, was working death in me through that which is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. So he's saying, again, the law is good. The law is not bad. It's just me seeing the law and trying to do what the law says. All these things I'm supposed to be doing, it's now on my mind all the time, and I'm constantly failing. Now, Paul, again, says New Testament of the law, okay, he was blameless. Now, that blameless there is he's trying to do everything the law is saying to do. Now, he knows he can't do it, okay? He's sinful, and it's causing more sin, okay? Now, again, he's showing what the law does as a Jew, okay, trying to follow the law. That's what it does. That's what it produces, okay? Because the law is to show sin. Okay, verse 14, we know that the law is spiritual. Absolutely, it's from God. But I am carnal, sold under sin. Yes, when you're an unsaved Jew, over here, trying to do what the law says as an unsaved Jew, you are carnal, sold under sin. You are going to constantly try those commandments and sin. Now, we know this isn't Paul saying I am carnal, sold under sin. Now, that's the opposite of what Romans 6 teaches. He is now free from sin. Now, you're going to see in Romans 8 that you can have a carnal mind, right? You can have an unsaved mind. You can have an unregenerate mind. You can see in 1 Corinthians 3:3 that Paul said, listen, I want to explain these things to you more in depth, but you are yet carnal. Now, he's not saying you are unsaved. You're thinking carnally. You're thinking like an unsaved person. So Romans 6 says you're free from carnality. You're free from being a slave to that. Now you can live righteously. Now you'll remember righteousness. Okay? So yes, as an unsaved Jew, sold under sin, sold in carnality, trying to do the law, you cannot do it. That's what it shows. So verse 15, talking to Jews that want to look at the law. Paul's explaining what the law does. Verse 15, for what I am doing, I do not understand, for I do not practice. Where am I at? Yeah, I do not practice what I will to do, but I do everything I hate. Under the law, as an unsaved Jew, that's what happens. That's what happens as an unsaved Jew. Everything I'm trying to do under the law, because I know it's good, the more sin's revealed, the more I hate doing the things that I don't want to do. Verse 16, but if I practice what I do not will to do, I agree with the law that it is good. Okay, now as a believer, we never look to the law to say this is good or bad. Okay, there are times when I need a principle, I can look to the law. But he's saying, as an unsaved Jew, this is what's happening. Verse 17, so now it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. So an unsaved Jew, Paul, sin is dwelling in him. Now a saved person in Romans 6 doesn't have to have sin dwell in him, right? He's free from the dwelling of sin. He's free from all that. As a believer in Christ, I can do the things Christ tells me to do because it's Christ in me, right? As a believer in Christ, I don't have to always do the things that I hate. That's the difference. You see that? Romans 6, I can live victoriously because Christ is in me. And as I yield to him, I don't end up doing the things that I hate. But as an unregenerate Jew following the law, you will constantly be doing the things that you hate. It exposes sin, and the more you try and do, the more sin you do. And man, it's just an endless cycle. Verse 18, for I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For the will to do what is right is present with me, But how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good I desire to do, I do not do. But the evil I do not want to do is what I do. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who does it, but sin that lives in me. That is the cycle of an unregenerate Jew under the law. Is the more they try and do right under the law, the more wrong they do. Okay, it's that endless cycle because they're seeing it's sin in them, and the more of the sinfulness that they see in them, the more they keep on sinning, and the more they can't do it. Now, there's no hope in that, is there? Now, Romans 6 is the opposite. It's, hey, you're free from sin. You're no longer a slave to sin. Yield the members of righteousness to God to have fruit under righteousness. This language here is never talked about as a saved person who has Christ dwelling in them to live out victoriously. Okay, this is of no hope. This is of, man, you're down and out. Okay? This is of, holy smokes, I can't achieve what I want to do. You're right, that's what the law does. It shows you can't achieve it. You've missed the mark. But in Christ, the mark is dwelling in me. In Christ, I can live victoriously. In Christ, I don't have to commit sin. That's the whole point of Romans 6. Now we're going to see how the Holy Spirit's involved in Romans 8 here coming up. Verse 21, I find then a law that when I desire to do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God according to the inner man. He wants to do it inside of him in his conscience. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to a law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? So that is the cry of an unregenerate Jew trying to follow the law and seeing this in the cycle, sold in sin, I'm a sinner, I'm doing all these bad things, oh wretched man that I am. Now that's never mentioned, that language, oh wretched man, is never linked to being born again. You're not a wretched man as a saved person. You cannot be wretched. Why? Because the righteous one is dwelling in you, that's why. You have hope now. Okay? You have the ability to experience the life of Christ. So, what's the answer? Another law? More of Moses? No, what does it say? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God through Jesus Christ. So that's the answer, right? So all the above under the law, miserable. Okay, if it's that miserable, what's gonna help me then? Jesus Christ is going to be the answer to all of that problem mess of not doing what I want to do, I don't do what I want to do, all these things, I'm wretched, man, I do more sin, the more sin I see in the law. Christ, the law was confirmed in Christ. It was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. So then with my mind I serve the law of God, but with my flesh, the law of sin. That's what happened to the Jew. With his mind, he wants to do it. With his mind, he wants to do the law. But in his flesh, it comes out sinful. Jesus Christ is the answer. Jesus Christ is the one that's going to make us free. So if we take this, just real quick, I'll show you. Go to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 5, I'll just give you one verse real quick. There are a couple of verses. Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill lust of the flesh. It's not a wretched man that I am. It's not that, man, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things that I do want to do, I don't do. None of that's there. If I walk in the Spirit, there's a Bible promise, I will not fulfill lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are in opposition to one another, so that you may not be or do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. So, I can, in my will, say, I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to yield to Him. And as I do that, I will not be having that carnal, fleshly mindset and fulfilling those things. A Jew under the law cannot do that. They're under the law. They'll always mess up. They're always going to sin. Romans 7 shows us that. What's going to help them? What's going to help the Jew? Jesus Christ, right? So they're not no longer looking at the law. So now as a saved Jew who wants to cling to the law, why are you doing that? Because there's no hope in that. There was no hope before Jesus. There's no hope now in Jesus. We are now divorced from that, okay, that way of system, and now we are married to Jesus Christ to live righteously in Him, now moving forward. The Jew's going to go, okay, I think I'm getting it. Right? I think I'm starting to understand this. So, we see here that the power of Jesus Christ can set us free, and we're no longer being tossed to and fro. We're no longer, you know, being up, down, left, and right. We can live victoriously in Christ and moving forward, have that peace within us, and walk in the Spirit, and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for being good to us today. Lord, we are grateful and thankful for Romans chapter 7. And understanding and seeing Paul's explanation to the Jews on there's no hope in the law. The law produces sin. Even though it's good and righteous and godly and spiritual, sin takes opportunity through the law to cause more sin. But Lord, that's not the case in Jesus Christ. Or with Christ being in us, He was tempted in all points like we were, yet without sin. We can do that same thing. Wherever there's temptation, Lord, we have a way of escape. We can walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Thank you, Lord, for that encouragement. Thank you, Lord, for that wonderful truth. Thank you for Romans 6, that we're able to walk righteously in you and yield our members to righteousness because you're in us. Lord, I ask that you bless this baby shower afterwards and bless our afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen.